I'd like to call to order the City Council meeting of January the 9th, 2007 at 6:02 p.m. Call for a moment of silence, please. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do the organizational meetings first? Okay, roll call, please.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson has requested to be excused tonight.
So move.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0. Okay. We're going to do organizational meetings first. Okay, so the first item on the organizational meeting is the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. Mr. City Manager.
So in reflection of time, we've got lots on the agenda tonight. Now, this typically is a process that the council goes through every year to determine its committees and members of those committees by council. So my suggestion is, unless you want to go through one at a time, you could just ask council members if they want to change committees. I will stay on the Economic Development Committee, certainly, but that would be expedite this, unless somebody wants to make a change or review every one of the lists, which either way is fine.
But. Okay. So I'll ask the committee members, is anyone wanting to make a change?
Bonnie and I like to.
Okay.
Bonnie was willing to go to the Library Committee.
So we'll add the Library Committee onto the Chamber of Commerce Committee for me and the Red Loan.
Okay. Anybody else making a change? All's okay? Charlie, you okay?
Yep.
Okay, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Steve, so without having done so, I will leave him on his current committee.
That would be my recommendation, too.
Okay. And there are no other changes I see. Okay. So that's fine.
Clerk, do we need a motion, Terry?
No.
Okay.
Don't need a motion. Okay. So we'll go. The next item is the awards and recognitions, and that has been postponed to the next meeting. Is that correct?
No, to the first meeting in February, the 13th.
13th of February. Okay. Audience participation. We have a number of people that have signed up this evening to speak. We have a public hearing, and that is going to be for a petition to vacate property at 700 block on Georgia Street. And so if you're
Northwest.
Yes, that is the one on Georgia.
Okay. So now if anyone is here to speak regarding that vacancy, I would suggest you hold off until we get to the public hearing portion, and then you'll be allowed to speak at that time. Anyone else wishing to speak to another issue can speak, so speak now.
Mr.
Yes. Yes, you certainly may.
I did just want to bring to your attention that the public hearing for the item related to amending the Wharf District Master Plan was held at the Planning Commission, and the record is closed.
Yes.
So you shouldn't really be accepting new testimony on that this evening. You do have the option of scheduling another public hearing, but that would be published so everyone would know that was happening rather than taking the testimony informally at this meeting. So that's okay. Important to know.
So that public hearing has been closed.
Correct.
Okay. So we'll deal with the Wharf District later in the agenda. Okay. Audience participation. I guess maybe I should ask, is there anyone that wishes to speak to either the vacation or another issue? Is there anybody wishing to speak on another issue unrelated to those items? Yes, sir. No, sir, if you'd be kind enough to come to the podium and please state your name and address for the record.
And what?
Your name and address for the record.
1273 Fort Street.
Your name?
Blaine. Yeah. Dr. Gale.
Dr. Gale. Yes, sir.
Gentleman here, Olison, did you mention something about the peach, the development of Blaine, or how to make it more attractive to folks coming in? Well, are you serious about that?
I'm serious about that. We really do have a problem because of our location and the way the city has been split by the freeways and whatnot. And if you guys have any ideas, it would be nice for you to think about them and let us know.
Would now be the time to say something or not?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to written communications. Do we have any? Yes, sir. You'd be kind enough to come to the podium, state your name and address for the record.
I'm Jim Kyle, 4102 Linnell Road, Deming.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure I understand the process here, but I was here to talk about the Wharf District Amendment in support of the Sundance building. And if the record's closed, does that mean you don't accept public comments tonight?
Yes, that's correct.
Several of us are here for that purpose, so I would request that a public hearing definitely be scheduled for that purpose.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, written communications.
We received, there were emails actually between Craig Stelflug and city staff regarding speeding traffic, and this was on December 20th. There was an email dated January 3rd from Ted Blazek regarding the John Wayne Iron Horse State Park Cross State Trail. A letter dated January 3rd from the Washington Department of Ecology regarding the public meeting on Wednesday, January 11th, to discuss cleanup plans for the Blaine Marina Inc. site. And a new email dated January 8th from Jim Kyle regarding the Working Waterfront Coalition and comments on the Wharf District Master Plan update.
Just a question, did we ever get back to the gentleman on the John Wayne Iron Horse State Park Cross State Trail?
We have not yet.
Okay, thank you. I think we should do it. This is in my comment. Anyway, next item.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, can you
about,
may.
About the you letter may. From the working, what was it called? The Working Wharf? Waterfront Working Group? Is that also something we can't consider?
Well, that would be public testimony received after the public hearing, so you should not consider that as part of your decision.
Well, we read it. We read it. So why couldn't we listen to the people this evening?
Because if you include that letter in your decision-making, it's illegal because the public record is closed. No one who, so for example, that was a letter in support, but no one who was in opposition knew that they could send you a letter. Send you a letter, so it's not fair and open public process. So you should disregard that letter if you make your decision tonight, and you could hold a public hearing, and then that could be entered into the record at that time, just as anyone else's new testimony.
Well, I think that's something we have to make a little more. Maybe we need to educate the public a little better, or maybe they just don't realize because there's several people who wasted their time coming this evening, thinking they could speak on that, and not realizing. Officially, we can't you know, we have to have a public hearing officially so that people from both sides can come and voice their opinions. And that's something we can decide to do this evening if we want to do. But it's just kind of unfortunate. And I apologize to anybody out there who, I know some people already left, but they obviously didn't realize that.
It is difficult. I'm not sure how to overcome that, to be honest with you, that we don't know who's coming, and to broadly tell people don't come doesn't seem like the right thing to do either. But I understand, and certainly I understand some of their frustration because they want to participate.
Yeah, I think it would have upset me a little bit if I came tonight, not knowing how the system works. Yeah. So.
And it's important to recognize it's not a policy decision that we're making, it's the law. So we're following the law, and you can follow the law by scheduling another public hearing.
The only thing we might do is on our website put a notation that both testimony will be taken.
Yes, we could do that on the agendas.
On the agenda, so.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. We'll let people know in the future.
Yeah, but I don't think we can advertise in the paper or do anything like that. Because we would like people to be here.
Certainly.
But we just cannot take any public testimony. Okay, that'll bring us to the next item on our agenda, which is a public hearing. And I'm going to read comments regarding the public hearing. At this time, we're going to conduct a public hearing in the matter of a vacation petition for the 700 block Georgia Street. The concern is that the hearing be both fair and substantive and procedure, and to meet the fairness requirement, I need to ask if any council member has an interest in the property or subject matter of the hearing tonight.
I do.
I would ask that the council member state his concern.
I live within a house and a half from where the property that's being vacated is located. And I don't think it's fair for anyone involved that I participate. So I'd recuse myself from doing that.
John Titkin's not here this evening. I don't think there's a legal requirement.
I don't know if it hits the material or not, but I think the council member wants to recuse himself and certainly can.
Yes, okay. So, now,
I'll see you.
Yeah.
Okay. Does any council member have direct or indirect financial benefit in the outcome of the hearing?
No.
No. Okay. Hearing none. Okay. Has any council member engaged in communication outside of the hearing with proponents or opponents on the issue to be heard?
No.
No.
Hearing none. Can each of you be fair and impartial in hearing the testimony tonight and rendering a decision?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'll now proceed with the hearing. I now declare the public hearing open. I will ask the city clerk to read into the record a list of written communication which has been received on this subject.
I have not received a written communication regarding this public hearing.
Thank
this
you.
Subject.
Person speaking on this issue will be allowed 5 minutes. Additional non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. Is there anyone caring to speak to this issue?
So, yes, if ma'am. I can interject at this
yes,
time.
Yes, you certainly may.
The street vacation request for this vacation was amended, where an additional property was added And so we have extended the public hearing until the 23rd. I am prepared with a very brief presentation on the street vacation process, as well as a short summary of our recommendation, and our staff report is in a draft form. And I certainly don't want you to... Okay. I don't want you to feel like we're not, by extending it to the 23rd, that we don't want to hear you tonight. So at the close of public testimony, once I'm finished, Mr. Mayor, I'd appreciate it if you would keep the public hearing open so it could be continued until the 23rd. And the reason for that is that the notice needed to reflect the revised legal description, which had an added lot. So I'll go ahead and proceed. So just to give a little very brief background on the street vacation process, we actually did this review with our Public Works Advisory Committee last week, so and then I'll give you an idea where we are. So first things first, we received a petition. It requires two-thirds of the abutting property owners to sign on the petition, as well as a correct legal description. Public Works then develops preliminary findings with just that information, and those findings reflect whether it abuts a water body, whether there's potential for future public use, whether the condition was caused by the applicant, and this is going to be correcting that condition, and whether or not a straight line for the entire block is being maintained. With those preliminary findings, we came to the City Council and recommended that it proceed to the next phase, which is to schedule the public hearing. They could have also denied the application at that time or returned it to the applicant for revisions, but they went ahead and scheduled that public hearing back at their meeting on November 28th. And subsequent to the next step, which is public notice, which goes out and hits City Hall and on the site, in the newspapers and so forth, it actually resulted in an additional property owner tagging on, if you will, for lack of a better word, which actually strengthened the application from our perspective. So we did that notice a second time, and that's why the public hearing will be held open till the next council meeting. So I do have a draft staff report I've just provided to council, and there's been a couple circulated around, and it'll be part of the public record this evening, which talks to each of these points, whether 50% or more people have objected. You heard the city clerk. We've had no written correspondence. Nobody has testified in objection that is an abutting property owner. We've confirmed the ownership of the parcels. We've done an evaluation of public harm to public benefit, what effect the vacation would have on the property served, as well as its relationship to the right-of-way on planned streets in that area. And finally, what existing utilities are there and what planned utilities might be there. I list here the criteria for the council's decision. I'm not going to read through that tonight because we're not going to have a decision this evening. Just to let you know where we are today and where this process lined up. So yes, this is a very long process, but it really is intended to be as open and transparent as possible. So we're at public hearing number one today. I do have a map of the area that is being requested to be vacated. I don't think there is a laser deal. Oh, there is. I'm afraid to try anything. No, I'm not going to do that. Never mind. There. That's an approximate, it's not to scale. I do have some other versions of this over here on the table, and I could pass those out if you would like, as well as a little bit of our evaluation, which was looking at the area to be vacated, what is planned, the driveway there, and making sure that it still accommodates public parking, as well as what future street improvements would be required on the north side of the street. And so this is what this document reflects. So I do have copies of that I'll pass out for the record. But at this time, I would welcome public testimony in light of the fact that this is going to be carried over to the 23rd. I will do a more extensive presentation on that date.
Now, is there anyone that would care to speak to the issue this evening? Hearing that. Sherry, is a motion required to...
No, there's no motion at this point. If no one wishes to speak, you can continue the public hearing until the 23rd.
I will then recommend that we carry over the public hearing until our meeting on January the 23rd, 2017. Does any council member have any objections to that? Hearing none, then I assume that we're set to extend the public hearing to the 23rd. Okay?
At 6 o'clock p.m.
6 o'clock p.m. Okay. Next item on our consent agenda is approval of bills from 2016 in the amount of $59,780.40. 2017 amount $85,495. Approval of payroll in the amount of $537,189.03. Approval of the December 27, 2016 council meeting minutes. The Mitchell sidewalk project closure and reappointment of the Public Works Advisory Committee members.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Yes, should we call Dennis back in first, Councilmember Allison? Yes.
Jeff is on his way to get him.
No, Dennis. We didn't know if you wanted to consent on the agenda or not.
I'm ready.
Okay.
So I moved approval of the consent agenda.
Seconded.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is now carried 6-0. Next item on our agenda is the council action items. The first item on the agenda is the appointment to the Planning Commission. And my recommendation would be that we put that off to our next meeting, January the 23rd, 2017.
I'll second that motion.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. That motion is carried 6-0. The next item on our agenda is the temporary use camping permit for the International Peace Arch Association. Michael, are you going to present that?
I would like to, Mr. Mayor. This is a request from the International Peace Arch Association to receive a permission to camp, to basically host a campground for a short period of time over the weekend of the Hands Across the Border scouting event. Yes. For a long time, apparently, the scouts have been wanting to be able to have a group camping area where they could all be in one place, something large enough to accommodate everyone. And when I say everyone, I think I mean everyone on the American side, because the Canadian kids would probably stay on their side somewhere. But what they do is they camp in Birch Bay and they camp in various places just because that's where they find room. As you know, we don't have a campground in Blaine. So when the Hands Across the Border and the International Peace Arts Association folks came to us and asked about temporary camping, we said, yes, of course, we have that kind of provision. You can do that in Marine Park. That's the location where we authorize those. They did not want to camp in Marine Park for security reasons, because they have a large group of children. They would like to be able to sort of have some sort of control of access, people coming in from different directions. And the camping area in Marine Park is very open to the public. On one side there's a road, and on the back side there's a trail. You can walk all around and kind of through the area. So that didn't suit their needs, so they looked around for other options. They came to us with the proposal that you have here. You have the same thing we received, which is a request to camp down by Hughes Avenue, large open area. There's a fairly large gravel parking area where they would park and possibly have RVs. And then there's a field where they would camp in tents. Of course, I can't approve that because camping is not permitted anywhere in the city except in Marine Park. So we don't have an administrative provision for that. The only real option is that the city council could make that kind of an exception for a short-term use of the site. They're asking for basically 3 days, Friday through Sunday, but they would do some setup in advance, and it might not be until Monday that the porta potties and hand washing stations were hauled away, the dumpster and that kind of thing. All the details of those sorts of things, like sanitation and whatnot, have not been worked out because it doesn't really make sense to do that if you say no. But we are recommending that you consider approving that and grant the city manager authorization to actually issue the permit, and based on specifics of things like sanitation, trash removal, and such. Do you have any questions for me? I expected Christina would be here, unless she snuck in behind me. She's not this evening, but so I think I might be the only one here that can speak to the issue.
Are there any questions?
Christian? Michael, roughly how many people are we talking about?
They actually don't know. They are expecting initially possibly 300, but they may phase it to larger.
Michael, is the granting of the permit just for what basis? What does that entail?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Are there any ties to the city as far as the security out there or the cleanup or the we issue the permit?
It doesn't really tie you to anything other than the normal responsibility we have as the city for things like police enforcement. We have that responsibility anyway. The fire district has fire and emergency services requirements because the land is within the district. And so we have those kinds of responsibilities. The one thing that we did verify is that the stormwater pond there is complete. It is fenced, so it's not a concern. Otherwise, it's basically just vacant land. There's not any unusual liability, but of course the city has, we always have liability because we are the jurisdiction responsible.
Okay. Yes, Paul.
Would it make sense to extend this idea to give the city manager authority to do this in subsequent such events?
In similar events?
Correct.
Perhaps, but I believe that would require a change in the law.
Okay.
So as not to just open that up through one action like this.
Understood. But perhaps you could put that on your agenda to at least talk about?
We could definitely talk about that on the staff level. I think it's pretty reasonable, but it's a great deal of flexibility you're granting there. So you'd have to think about that. But, yeah, we could definitely look at bringing that forward.
Michael, you spoke of liability, and we have liability insurance. But what about the liability of adverse publicity if something were to happen to these children? I mean, there's roads all in that area. If there was an accident of the kind, do we really want to open ourselves up to that kind of potential problem?
I think you raise an excellent point, Mr. Mayor, and I would suggest that's perhaps a better question for the other council members than me, but you do raise a very good point. It's making an exception, and if there were an accident, people would wonder why you made an exception.
Yes, and particularly that area of land doesn't really lend itself to great amount of security. I mean, there's open roads on either side of it, are there not? I mean, there's not a fenced area or...
It's not secure from the perspective of a fence, but there is a fence along the freeway of some kind there. And it's not, it doesn't have open access to the public like Marine Park does. Yeah. There's one way in and out, which is what they thought about quite a bit, is the road that goes in. Yeah. At a certain point, there's kind of a pinch point there, and then the camping would be behind that. So, I mean, they felt like it was a good option. Personally, it wouldn't be my preference of a place to camp next to the freeway in the field, but it's only for a couple of days. So I think they found that this was the property they were able to secure rights to.
I must confess I have some concern about it.
Does the property owner, is he going to assume any liability if something occurs as far as his insurance? Or, I mean, would we, by granting the permit, does that put us in the liability seat?
Those are two legal questions I can't answer. I don't have the training and I'm not a lawyer. I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah.
I have an opinion, but I'm not an attorney.
Have we asked John Sipkin to comment on our potential liability?
We haven't asked him to comment on the liability on this. We could. You could table this decision till the next regular meeting. Tabling automatically does that.
Yeah.
It's a busy agenda. I will tell you now, it's a busy agenda on the 23rd. But if you were to table it, it would be there, and we could come forward with some additional information from Mr. Sipkin.
I'll ask my other council members if they feel that that's necessary.
I think it's a good idea to table it till a later date. Whether this is June 9th, they're talking about the... Mm-hmm.
It is, but they're in the planning stages now, and they're opening their event registration this month. They, in fact, wanted to open it by now. So while the camping isn't until a substantial date in the future, to allow for their event scheduling and planning, they want to get this decision fairly soon. So while it looks like you might be able to wait until March or April to make a decision, that would, I think, adversely affect them.
I'd suggest we table it till two meetings from now.
Ms. Sanchez, can that be done? Table to it?
One done because it's not an ordinance.
Oh, okay, because it's not an ordinance. That would be February 9th.
We can't do it on the 23rd?
Well, but you can, but Mr. Rollison suggested tabling it for 2 weeks. There are two meetings out.
I mean, once we find out from our attorney, you know, what the liability is, I think we should be able to make a decision on the 23rd. Should take up a whole lot of time.
Well, speak of the devil.
There he is.
The devil?
But he's not going to want to give an answer right now, probably.
And he didn't wear his red suit.
So I would like to table it until our next meeting, if that's okay.
You want to make a motion to that effect?
Before you make the motion, you know, because of the timing of the registration, I'd suggest if John can give you the answers that you are seeking tonight, to make the decision tonight if you can.
Okay.
Would it be fair then, Mr. Mayor, that we will, I'm not sure exactly what the correct Roberts Rules term on this is, but delay this.
This is a council action
this
item.
Action item.
Until the end of...
We'll now move it down to number 5.
To the list of end of the list of action items, and Mr. Sipkin and I
will
catch up to speed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next item then is number 2, the new number 2, Ordinance 17-2895, amending the Wharf District Master Plan. And who wishes to present that to us?
Can you get the mic?
Thank you.
Good evening, Council.
Alex.
This is the...
Alex, could I just ask the Council members a question before you start?
Please.
Has everyone read this over?
Yep.
Yep.
It's a long read, number one. And number two, we know that there was a lot of people in the audience that wished to speak to this issue. I wonder if for a matter of time that we could just table this to the next meeting. I shouldn't say table it to the next meeting, that we should vote on having a public hearing. And then you could present that your comments at the public hearing. So that's a suggestion for me.
I'm in favor of that. I think there's a lot of concerns.
It gives everybody an opportunity to reread it again. Yep. It's a long read.
Yep.
And it gives the public an opportunity to know there will be another public hearing, and they will be able to comment at that time.
Now, is there going to be room on the agenda on the 23rd, or should we move it to meetings?
So the next meeting on the 23rd, there will be four public hearings.
Oh.
And so if you want to move it to February 9th, if that is okay.
That's probably better, I think.
Yeah, we would have to notice it, but that would give plenty of time.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, just real quick. The applicant, the Port of Bellingham, is here in their leasee Sundance Yachts with a number of representatives. They are from out of town, and I just wanted to make sure you had that information when you make a decision.
Okay. Would they be able to attend at another meeting? I'm sorry to maybe put you off on that.
Well, we drove 5 hours to get here because we have a meeting in the morning because we have a 5 boat shows in the next 7 weeks, some of them 9 days. We'll do whatever you ask, but it will make 10 hours of driving and then standing by for several hours, and then we'll do that again. And we'll do that. This is important to us and hopefully to the city, but just so you know.
Obviously, there's a number of people that would like to make public comment. And we would like to get that before we make our decision, because we know there's been a previous public hearing, but obviously some of those people either weren't aware or were unable to attend it. And so I think it would be helpful for us.
I would mention the people that were here were in support of it. But we'll do whatever you like, Mayor.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that.
My name's Rick Bach.
Thank you, Rick.
Would it be helpful to have a short version right now?
Sure.
Without going into a lot of detail, but give us the high points of the decision-making process. Can we devote that much time?
Then we would continue the public meeting until next.
Until 2 meetings from now, February
9th. Mr. Hawkins, there is no public hearing at this time, so you're not continuing anything.
Can we open one tonight? We can't do one tonight.
We would set one.
You'd be taking action to not make a decision tonight and to schedule a public hearing for February 9th.
I would propose that we let Alex give sort of an overview, maybe not in as much detail as you might go through at the public hearing.
Sure.
And then after his presentation, we could vote on setting a public hearing.
How does the other council members feel with that? Are you okay with that?
That sounds all right.
No one has any objection to it. So, real short version.
Okay, real short version. I'll be quick. So this is a proposal to change the comprehensive plan and update our Wharf District Master Plan, specifically Mariner Village or Planning Area 3. There's basically two main aspects to this, and that's increase some height limits and open up the zoning to allow marine-related uses. The applicant is the Port of Bellingham, and they leased the property to Sundance Yachts with an 80-year lease. So this is a legislative action, so the council has a wide range of options for moving forward, and I'll touch on those in a minute. So here is the master plan for the Wharf District. Planning Area 3 is located right there. There's a number of
existing height limits that are already allowed down there. You can see a couple blocks, three blocks actually, that allow 55-foot tall buildings, one for 45, a couple 35s, and a couple 25. I think those are important when you consider the actual proposal. So the port came in, and they had a specific proposal to increase the heights in that area right there, highlighted in yellow. So there'd be two different areas. That area would be increased by 10 feet to 45 feet from 35, and then this area, which would be raised from 45 to 55 feet. And then they wanted to open up the whole area to marine-related uses. So the Planning Commission looked at that. They felt the application is consistent with the three approval criteria in the comprehensive plan, but they are making a recommendation to modify the application. They want to allow the marine-related uses only on the east side of Mulholland Drive, and they want to adjust the height limits to put the taller buildings closer to the railroad tracks and lower height limits adjacent to Mulholland Drive. So what does that look like when we go back to the map here? this is the area they would like to restrict the marine-related uses to, basically the east side of Mulholland Drive, and then increase the height limit in that area in yellow to 55 feet, lower the height limit in this red area from 45 down to 25, lower the height limit on the other side of Mulholland Drive from 55 down to 25. And when they were formulating this recommendation, there was a lot of discussion about the parklets and looking down from the parklets. So we spent a lot of time looking at the sight lines from the plazas. So the new Planning Commission recommendation would look like this for the height limits, so the 25 feet throughout and 55 feet closer to Marine Drive. Like I mentioned, there was quite a bit of discussion on the heights and the view shed and how that would be impacted. I think this photo really summarizes things quite nicely, taken from the top of the Loomis Hall building, looking out. You see, you know, the broad sweeping views, which you're all familiar with. So if you turn to your right and focus in, this is one of the view analyses that we looked at from H Street Plaza. So the Planning Commission looked at a whole bunch of these, and I could show you tons of these slides if you wanted, but I'm not going to do that now. The takeaway from the height and view analysis is that there is some loss of view. In every spot you stand, the view analysis is a little bit different, right? It all depends on where you stand for your viewpoint. But the overall impact is pretty small. It could be considered de minimis. So it's pretty small impact when you take in the whole large view overall. We spent a lot of time talking about permitted uses, and so what is a marine-related use? Well, this picture we felt was a good example, just, you know, boats, working on boats. We talked about dry stack storage. Again, this isn't a proposal to build anything. This is a proposal to change our master plan down there. The applicant, Sundance Yachts, who's here this evening, this is the facility. This is part of the facility they'd like to build. It would be some dry dock storage. And a resort-type yacht dealership. So there'd be a clubhouse, and they would be selling high-end boats at the facility. So what were the takeaways from the permitted use analysis? First of all, marine-related uses are supported by the zoning code. When you look at the wharf zoning code, marine-related uses are actually, you can make a good case for supporting those in the zoning code. And coming back with a development permit, you need a shoreline permit to build anything down there. So whatever it's going to look like in the end, it has to go back to the Planning Commission. So that's important, because there's a lot of talk about design standards. And in your packet, there's a number of like renderings and photos towards the back the applicant put together. And if they put those together as part of this comprehensive plan amendment, they don't have a specific development proposal yet. So they would get an architect, and they would spend a lot more time working on that. I don't believe the owners are a licensed architect, but they did a good job putting those together. So, and of course, we have development standards in our code, in the Wharf Zoning District, the Blaine Design Guidelines. Those all apply down there. Some marine-related uses are less permanent. For example, those boats, you can put them on trailers and move them off the property. So it's not quite as permanent as some other things, maybe like the dry dock storage, for example. And then, of course, this amendment doesn't abandon the Mariner Village concept. So someone could still come in and do, you know, a mixed-use development, you know, or a hotel down there. It's still possible to do that. This doesn't abandon that. And, in fact, there's a lot of discussion about how such a use like that, a mixed-use development, could actually go nicely with this facility down there. It's like a working waterfront. You know, it's interesting to look at. So that was That was some of the talk. So staff's recommendation is that, you know, we do concur with the commission's recommendation of approval. We felt the commission did a really good job, and we recommend approval as well. But we did have a couple concerns about some of the allowances that we did to the west side of Mulholland Drive. And those are essentially lowering the height limit from 55 feet down to 25 feet. That property on the west side of Mulholland Drive is probably the best suited for a larger mixed-use development, and you're not going to get that type of development with a 25-foot height limit. I think you're going to need at least three or four stories of building to do something like that. So that was one area of concern. And another area of concern, and I think the port would definitely agree with this, is that the marine-related uses, so things like web lockers, are focused strictly to the east side of Mulholland Drive under the Planning Commission's recommendation. So if the port wanted to come back in the future and build a web locker, it might not be allowed because that's not a commercial use down there with residential units above it. So the staff was hoping that the council would take a look at that. And I know that the port, I think the port is here, yes, they are, they would love to provide some clarifying information because that they do have some plans to talk about that, to look at moving some of those web lockers around in the future. So essentially that's it. The council has a whole bunch of options, basically, as a legislative action. These are all summarized from your request for council action. You can approve the application as originally proposed or approve it as modified by the Planning Commission. The council can make their own changes to the master plan and then approve that. You can also direct staff to come back with more information and say, hey, I would like you to look at these particular things. We'll come back and report on that. And, of course, the council as a legislative action can hold another public hearing if they wish. Now, there's notice requirements that have to be met to do that, so we would provide everybody with an opportunity to comment on this. And then, of course, there's the option of denying the application. And I would just end that. I believe this proposal did get a lot of good press. It was in the newspaper a number of times, and we completed all the typical notification requirements. So I felt like this was more than adequately advertised. So that concludes my presentation.
Questions for us?
No. Is this request for rezone for the entire sub area 3? The east side?
It changes that area. So the original proposal would affect the entire area because it would open that entire planning area 3 to marine related uses. But then it changes the height limits for just a smaller little subsection of that.
Right.
So then the Planning Commission changed that to only affect certain areas, or just so going back to that one slide here, maybe if I can, right back here. So this area is what the Planning Commission elected to do. We can take that.
So only
there.
The yellow is rezoned.
Well, actually, the red area would be the Planning Commission is recommending that the council lower the height limit in those red areas.
Well, I'm not talking about heights necessarily, but uses.
Yes, so the uses would be just to this blue area. So that's the only area that would be open up to marine-related uses under the Planning Commission's recommendation. And the applicant, the Port of Bellingham, recommended that the entire planning area, sub-area 3, be opened up to marine-related uses.
So west of Mulholland, where the web lockers are, those are staying,
but they couldn't really be rebuilt.
Those are essentially grandfathered in.
They're grandfathered in where they are. But if they're relocated, they're not allowed to be built there.
That's right. So let's see, this area here, if they wanted to build a third web locker, for example, is outside of that blue area at this point. So they would most likely not be allowed to build a web locker in this location.
Right.
Alex, since the Planning Commission has made their recommendations, has the port provided any commentary as to those recommendations?
No, sir. The port has actually not had an opportunity to do that because once the Planning Commission made the recommendation, they closed the public hearing.
Now, if we had a public hearing, would the port be allowed then to present information to us concerning their reaction to the recommendations put forward by the Planning Commission?
Yes, sir, they would.
I think that's important because What we've done is received an application from the port, but changed it, but not gotten the port's reaction to our changes.
That is true, sir.
And I think that's essential before we decide on this.
So I have a kind of a procedural question. Wasn't it almost an automatic reaction to have the other public hearing? Because it was definitely way different than what the port had asked for. It seemed like to me that we're creating a conflict just by the changing what they asked for and then not giving them, once it's done past the planning commission, it's not really giving them an opportunity to do anything. So we get here and we have to try and figure out what we're trying to do, and instead of just saying we need to have a public hearing on this and something like this. I mean, I know we're going to end up that way. Yeah, I mean, it seems like we should end up that way to start with.
We should just go to a public hearing. Yeah.
Maybe I can answer that, Mr. Hawkins. Yeah. The reason is that the code is written that after the planning commission renders their decision, that it comes forward to the City Council for your consideration. It doesn't say it comes forward to the City Council for a public hearing at that time, which is here and now. Yeah. You have the option to set a public hearing. You might completely agree with their recommendation, or you might not, but the code is set up for this to occur precisely.
Exactly.
And I would also point out that the Planning Commission was very conversant with the applicant. It was an engaged discussion, literally like with the applicant standing up at the dais there mm-hmm. saying, this is what we'd like to do, and the commission saying, well, that looks like something maybe we could think about. It wasn't like everyone sat down in a quiet in the back, and the Planning Commission debated something and then just decreed it. It was a very engaged discussion. But nonetheless, the reason we're not saying it goes to a public hearing is that's not what the law says.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, we do have the option.
You absolutely do. Yeah.
Yes, Dennis.
Alex, can you expand on what you mean by marine-related uses?
Well, we don't have a set definition for that, so that would be something that the planning director would need to make an interpretation on, but it's something that's associated with boating, going back to these pictures, it could be a wide range of uses, so to narrow it down is difficult. And the reason
I asked is web lockers, I would think those were marine related.
And yet
it sounds like in the proposal they won't be allowed in certain areas because I really don't know why.
That is correct. So marine related uses are not allowed down there today in Planning Area 3. And so this proposal, the Port of Bellingham, as the applicant, proposed that we open up the entire area for marine-related uses. And the Planning Commission was, I guess I would say, a little weary of that. So they wanted to restrict it just to the east side of Mulholland Drive, specifically the property Sundance Yachts is leased from the Port of Bellingham.
And yet the two lockers that are down there now are on the west side of Mulholland.
That is correct, yeah.
Their grandfather.
Yeah, but you can't rebuild them.
So
I'd like to look at that.
Just to elaborate on that, maybe that doesn't, might seem curious, just looking at it like that, but the Wharf District Master Plan, the vision for that area is to build, commercial, an urban village with residential units above it, the working waterfront, like the Shipyard Industrial Park, those areas are supposed to, per the master plan, should be at the end of Marine Drive. So this area, when the master plan was developed, and I would point out that it was a different economic time in 2007, things were really happening here in Blaine, that's when the City Council adopted that, and then, of course, the next year, 2008, everyone is pretty familiar with what happened. So it was a robust economy at that time, and the vision was that we would build this urban village down there. And so those type of uses were essentially zoned out to be in a different location on the wharf.
And I'm not quite willing to give that up yet, in my mind, but on the west side. I would make a motion that we set a public hearing for February 9th.
Do we have a second?
A second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0.
All right, thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is item now number 3. Schedule a public hearing to amend the 6-year TIP.
That would be me. Okay. So, as you know, we have been going through a process, both for through Tom Beckwith's Strategic Economic Initiative, as well as with the budget process and the subsequent direction to form a transportation benefit district in our city. We decided before we ask you to form that district that we look at our 6-year street improvement plan and take the public input that we got through the Beckwith Strategic Economic Initiative and add projects that are not currently on that 6-year TIP so that those projects would be eligible then for TBD funding. So as a result, we're coming forward to you this evening to request that you schedule a public hearing for the 23rd to amend the six-year street improvement plan to allow for these additional projects.
One question, Raven. The 9 items that are going to be added, will those be available?
Yes.
Look at them.
Yes, sir. We'll have them for you at the hearing. They're largely trail projects, I will say, and I'm happy to share with you at any time.
Trails, you said?
Trails. Primarily trail projects, yeah.
Okay. Any further questions?
Great. Okay. So moved. Very good.
Set up
the January 23rd.
Okay, let me read it in for the record then. The staff is recommending that we set a public hearing for January the 23rd, 2017, to consider additional transportation projects for the 2017-2022 six-year transportation improvement program, amendment number 1, to then be adopted by council resolution.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0. Next item on our agenda is number 4, is to schedule a public hearing to create a transportation benefit district.
Yes, that would be me again, Council. As you are kind of observing the process for getting the transportation benefit district on the ballot was an aggressive one, and so we have a lot of things to line up. The first of which is that you have to form the district. We are recommending that the district be within the city city limits, and our state law now allows you as city council to be the TBD board without a separate process. But the very first thing you need to do is form that district. So we are recommending that a public hearing be set on January 23rd that would consider the creation of that district. After the district is created, then we would move forward with a resolution to put the funding mechanism itself on the ballot. Any questions?
Hearing none, then the recommendation is that staff recommends the council set a public hearing for January the 23rd, 2017 to consider the creation of the Blaine Transportation Benefit District to then be adopted by ordinance.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0. Back on the agenda is number 5, the temporary use for camping permit for the International Peace Arch Association. And I believe, Mr. Jones, we had some questions of a legal nature, and we asked our attorney, Mr. Sitkin, to address them.
And we had a discussion in the hallway, and Mr. Sitkin has answers for you.
Oh, thank you.
So, as I understand it, this is a situation where a use is being asked for you to allow that's outside what's permitted in the zoning code at this time. So, under the public duty doctrine and the exceptions there, duty that's owed generally to all. Let me give you a little background why I think there is risk and exposure and liability to the city for that course of action. Under the public duty doctrine, a duty owed to all is a duty owed to none, if you will, in that you're not liable for a duty that is owed to the general public unless there's some special relationship that's created, either a special class of persons, you have some engagement with somebody, or is there a statutory obligation. So I think under this public duty doctrine, when you knowingly don't enforce your rule and give a waiver without going through the processes, you create liability because you haven't, you could have done something by stop that would otherwise been improper use. You could go through an expedited process to try to allow this use and go through that legislative process. But absent going through that legislative process and saying this type of special event use is allowed or the process for getting permitted, it's not a proper use under your code. And to just ignore that, someone could say you had a, you knew about this, you didn't do anything, maybe you had a relationship with somebody because of that knowledge. You didn't enforce the statutory provision knowingly, and now something happened. By the other token, I would tell you, just because something's permitted and allowed use, you don't warrant anyone's safety or warrant any, nothing's ever going to, bad is going to happen. But when you don't take action in the face of knowing there is some increased risk. So someone that wants to do something that's not spelled out in the code, what they should do is seek, hey, how can we look to get an expedited legislative approval of this, not just come to council and say, can you give it to us, but you have a process in the Planning Enabling Act that would have to be followed. That's my... I think that's a question for the Planning Department and, you know, the process, how to expedite that.
Basically, he's saying change the law to allow this permit to anyone who met the requirement.
I mean, you can think about how it might be done, but you need to go through some legislative process to create a code provision that allows staff to grant this, or to council to grant
this. It would be very similar to what your last subject matter was. There's going to have to go through a process to change the code. It goes to the Planning Commission, has hearings, comes to the council for a discussion and potential hearing.
Which precludes it from happening this year for these people.
Well, it doesn't have to go through a sub-area plan, that type of thing. No, you're talking about a text amendment in the code that I can't speak to how quickly that could be processed.
Mr. Sitkin?
Yes, ma'am. I'm an Eagle Scout. I wish we could do that. So, I mean, I'm not looking for ways to say no.
Would we be able to get a waiver of liability from the Boys and Girls Scouts?
No, because you're not, it's, you don't know who's going to attend, you know. Is the risk high? I would say no, but, you know, I just don't know. You don't know what can happen. I don't know what 200 kids are going to be there, and I don't know, and, you know, you don't, I would not recommend you start engaging in that kind of getting waiver of liability or some indemnification from the Boy Scouts, and, you know, it's...
But you're saying the risk is somewhat greater if we don't go through this ordinance process than if we make an exception. You're saying
yes.
Our risk is,
you can't create
greater.
An exception today. You have to go through the process. Your code doesn't have a provision that says... The council can make an exception, or it doesn't have a provision that the planning director can make an exception. Your code says, here are the allowed uses. And if it's not on that list, it's not allowed. If someone wants to do a use that's allowed,
so you're
you
saying
come
it's
back.
Not legal. We can't do this anyway because it's not legal.
You have to go through the process to change the code.
Yeah, that's right, I'm saying. And that's why you're saying, well, council, we're going to pass a resolution that says we're going to direct staff not to take an enforcement action or to allow this to issue a permit. It's inconsistent with the code, and so, you know, it just creates it's knowingly doing something without having gone through the process. If you ask me if there's a risk of liability, I would say there's a risk of some exposure. Do I think it's significant? Probably not, but if there is a risk of exposure, I don't know what might happen. Now, I don't think that cures it. You know, the only thing I can think of curing it is talking to your underwriter and seeing if they provide coverage with this knowledge. I mean, you know, that's the only question I could say, you know, is to mitigate the risk is would there still be coverage from the underwriter knowing this is inconsistent with your code.
John, the property owner couldn't do this on his own and just because
the property owner, he would be allowing a use that's not allowed. If he went through and gave a license or a lease to, you know, whatever group to say camp for this weekend, we're going to have Coachella or whatever, you know, for the weekend or hands cross the border, and you can have a special event here, and that property owner would be allowing a use that's not allowed in your code, and you know, in normal course, someone brought a complaint about noise and traffic and said, gosh, well, staff, how come you're doing this? Well, council told us to do so. Well, I got hit by a car coming out of there, and you know, you allowed it, and so you allowed a use that was never permitted just because, and well, you had a duty to at least not ignore your code, and so there's a basis for bringing a claim. And I'm not trying to find a reason to say no. There's a way to maybe expedite this quickly or talk to the insurance underwriter to say there's coverage, and then maybe you can say we'll take the risk.
Well, what would it look like to do it? What would the language look like to allow for it?
I think, you know, Michael, when I could strategize, but I would guess it might be some kind of a special event permit that you allow in certain zones.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to answer that question on the fly. We would develop language. You know, just one of the things we talked about in the hallway is it's difficult for me to envision a smooth public process where we're proposing a temporary camping permit allowed in every zone. That doesn't sound like something people would be very much in favor of. So we need to think about what this would look like if we were going to change.
I think what we talked about, though, on the other hand, you can think of things that might be a special event that's not something you've thought about, that's a one-time, one-off kind of event that if you went through a process to get approval, you could say, yeah, we might want that capacity in our code. Now, we were just brainstorming this outside, so it hasn't been thought through, but there is a, yeah, you could get there from here, but I don't think you can.
But we can't.
I spoke my concerns with you.
We can't do it.
I understand they're about 6 months away. If you ran something through the Planning Commission quickly, I don't know how quickly it would be. If they were trying to get advertising flyers out this week saying it's happening that weekend and they knew for certain, they couldn't have that certainty for probably a few months.
That's accurate. It would be 90 days at the minimum to get the permission. So they can go back to the original proposal that we had for them, which was they can use Marine Park.
Would it be
that's a lot.
Where it's permitted, the city manager can issue a camping permit.
Would it be advisable to check with our insurance company, or shouldn't we even go there?
We can check and we can report back to you.
I would tell you I'd be surprised the underwriter saying we're going to cover you for liability associated with an illegal act. I'm going to be surprised that they say that, but I have to tell you it's something you could ask.
I've got real concerns about this.
You know, a perfect place for them to set up tents would be in Peace Arch Park in the big grassy area there, the flat top area.
Yes, from what I understand, the state park will not issue them a permit.
They won't do that.
That's what I've been told.
And that just seems like such a natural to me, but
I think we've got a handle on this. We've got an action item before us where the staff recommends the city council authorize the city manager to issue a special permit for temporary camping use for 72 hours beginning on Friday, June the 9th, 2017, and associated setup and breakdown beginning June the 5th, 2017 and ending June the 13th, 2017 to support the HATB subject to limitations and conditions determined appropriate by the city manager. Knowing the facts that have been...
New information that came to light today.
Yes. In view of the information that has come to light today, does anyone care to make a recommendation? Make a motion to that effect.
Harry, if we move to do this, then we can vote to deny it.
Yeah, if there's no motion, it automatically dies. Okay. If you want to make a motion and get a seconder for it, and then have a vote on it, it's up to you guys. So I guess the question comes back again. Does anyone care to make a motion? Hearing none, no motion. Most is that the recommendation has been denied. Okay, onward we go. Now, Mr. City Manager, I've got a suggestion. You can tell me if I'm wrong. We have a commission committee and board reports coming up, and I'm sure, and department reports, and I'm sure everybody in the audience is anxious to hear those. However, I'm wondering if what we could do is have the commission committee and board reports simply allow Chief Hollander to present his report, then go on to our executive sessions, and then come back and do the commission and board reports and the department reports. Is that acceptable?
Absolutely. Perfectly fine.
Okay. So I'm going to open it up to the commission committee and board reports for Chief Hollander, the North Watkin Fire update. Sir.
Messing up my time.
I'm all confused. It's really going to be short. Happy New Year,
Dave. Happy New Year to all of you.
I did turn in our end of the year report for November. Because you had that short meeting, I did drop that off for Sherry. Tonight I'm just sharing with you our newsletter. Big announcement is we now have an assistant chief of operations. Joe Noonchester, who was previously our training captain, got promoted to assistant chief of training. So that was a one big item in there, and then another story about two volunteer graduates that just graduated from the Fire Academy. Yeah. And other than some really icy roads this morning, and plan on them being icy tomorrow morning, be real careful out there, because right about sunrise, the roads are getting very slick.
Yeah. Are there any questions for the Chief? Hearing none, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Now, we're going to leave the commission committee and board reports open and the department reports open. We're now going to break for executive session. And we're having an executive session to discuss sale of real estate pursuant to RCW 42:30:110, 1 in brackets, C in brackets, and potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42:30:110, 1 in brackets, I in brackets. Now, we anticipate this being for how long?
45 minutes.
45 minutes, and do we anticipate action being taken?
No action.
Okay, so we're going to break for executive session. We'll be gone for approximately 45 minutes, at which time we'll return to complete the rest of the agenda. You're welcome to stay in the audience and wait our return, and if you don't want to do that, you're welcome to go home. Thank you.